Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And if you don't get these, I can email you the notes if you've got email. And also again in the Gospel of John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. So that's Isaiah 12. 3 and 4, John 4, 13 through 14, and John 7, 37 through 38. This morning I want to bring you the fourth part in a series on digging the wells. We've been looking in Genesis at the fact that Isaiah redug the wells that had been covered up by the Philistines that his father Abraham had dug. And of course we're not talking about natural water rights, we're talking about prayer. And digging prayer wells, praise the Lord. So those first three messages are available. I'll give you some background. But this morning, look with me in Isaiah chapter 12. For Isaiah looks ahead 700 years and then moving forward in history and prophesies, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day when you do, you'll say, praise the Lord. Then 700 years later, Jesus is sitting at the Samaritan well with a woman and having a conversation about the wells of salvation that Isaiah was prophesying about. And Jesus replied and said to her, everyone who drinks some of the water from this well is going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks some of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. And then later, Jesus is in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, towards the end of his ministry, just before he's crucified, it says, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. So you can kind of see the history of the well, see the progress. Isaiah talks about a time when God's people will draw with joy water out of the wells of salvation. Then Jesus shows up and he says to the woman basically in Samaria at the well, he said, I am the well of salvation. And if you draw water out of the well of salvation, out of me, you come to me and drink, I'll give you water by which you'll never be thirsty again. Then later he says, if anyone drinks from the well that is my life, I become the well of salvation to him. Out of him, out of his fullness, will flow rivers of living water. So the history of the well is that when Eden's gate closed behind Adam and Eve, mankind began to look for an opening to heaven, a way back to God, if you will. And until Jesus came, people sought a connection point with God in their circumstances. If you think about it, people in the Old Testament didn't really so much seek God himself. There wasn't really an understanding that people could be one with God and that there would be a connection with God. And so they sought for God in their circumstances, not unlike people do today. When in times of drought, people might call out for rain, or when surrounded by an enemy, they might pray for deliverance. In difficulties in life or in loneliness, Lord, help me with my problems, or in confusion, explain life to me. So people look for God to bring relief in their external circumstances. Because stepping out of Eden and stepping out of fellowship with God, man stepped into darkness and separation from God. So people basically started to look for a portal of provision, or an aperture of understanding, something to open up that we could get back to God, make a connection with God again, or God could touch our lives. And the fact is that when Adam and Eve stepped out of the presence of God, and that Eden's gate, as I referred to it, closed behind them, The way that they knew that they were without God is their circumstances immediately changed. They went from light to darkness. They went from life to death. Things went from good to bad in a very evident way. And it's been that way for 6,000 years. And so people naturally look for God to settle the harsh circumstances of their life, to come in and manifest in some sort of a material way. And so when Jesus came, he began by addressing those circumstances, healing and deliverance. He would cast devils out of people. They'd instantly, their sanity would come back. They'd be delivered from diseases. Their lives would be transformed. And at the same time, he began to talk about the kingdom of God, and he began to talk about God opening up a well. And so the Lord, Isaiah saw the Lord doing something so amazing that when he opened that portal, that connection, when he opened that place of fellowship with God, that well would be placed in your heart and in mine. God wouldn't open it out there in the circumstances. He didn't put that well inside of a temple of religion, but he put it inside of people. Hallelujah. And he said, therefore, with joy, you will draw waters. Why? Because you don't have to go anywhere. You just get them from within yourself. With joy, you will draw water out of the well of salvation, because it'll come from within you. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. So Isaiah prophesied that God would reopen heaven as a well inside of believers. And that was a thought that was inconceivable to people in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, after 2,000 years, people are still having a difficult time getting their mind around the idea that God has opened up the well of heaven. He's reopened heaven inside of you and I. And so with joy, Isaiah said, we shall draw water, because Isaiah foresaw that time when God would install the well of salvation in us. Prayer would put us in direct contact and fellowship with the living God. Hallelujah. And so rather than asking God to rain down a little rain on our circumstances and get a little sip of relief every now and then, God had a better idea. He would be in us like a well of living water springing up through our prayer life to everlasting life. And that was the cause of great joy that Isaiah saw 700 years before Jesus came, was that no longer would people hope for God to show up in their circumstances, but he would show up in your prayer life, that he would arise from in the midst of you, because heaven had been reopened in you. And so let me talk, because we've been following along using this analogy of digging the prayer wells, digging the wells of prayer. And let me just say again so that you understand that the digging of the prayer wells, as we've talked about in the previous 3 weeks, really talks about making the effort to dig through your own mind, your own heart, the things that are filling your own conscience, and digging through to that well that God has put inside of you so that the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. And you don't dig a well forever. You make contact and then that well starts flowing. So the digging is just the laboring to enter into that place of rest and fellowship and prayer. So Jesus comes and announces to the woman at the well, I am heaven's well of salvation, ready to be installed in your heart. That's what happened to you when you got born again. Was Jesus was installed in you as the well of salvation inside of you. And that's all you had to do, was to go to the well to receive a word from God, to receive a word of life. So God basically, in Jesus coming and opening heaven's well within you, planted life in you. I want you to think about that statement for a minute. Jesus planted life in you, which means that your circumstances, the opinions about you from other people, don't have to determine how much life you're entitled to. That amount of life that you are entitled to is determined by your prayer life. It's you going to the well. Jesus said, if you drink in prayer, in fellowship with me, that living water that I will put inside of you, you will never thirst again. Or what he's saying is, you'll never have to go outside to your circumstances to try to have God meet you. He'll live inside of you, and you'll have a continuous feast, a continuous flow. God, when Jesus came into your life and that well of prayer was dug inside of you and He planted heaven inside of you, He planted happiness in you. Think about it. I know that you're not always happy with your circumstances, and some of you may be here this morning not happy at all with your circumstances, but happiness has not left you. Joy is still in you. Isaiah said, with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. So look, if you're happy, if your happenings are not making you happy, let me tell you this morning, there's good news. Happiness has been planted inside of you. Joy is inside of you. God has planted happiness in you. And happenings can come and circumstances can take things from you, but that can never take joy. You have the well of happiness inside of yourself. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So we are digging those prayer wells inside of ourselves. As John records, Jesus said, if you keep going to that well, you're going to get thirsty again. And maybe that's the problem that some Christians have, is they keep going to their external circumstances to try to feed their life. And you know, and I know, that at best, your circumstances are inconsistent. And if you think the proof that Jesus is Lord of your life is that your circumstances are going to consistently be good, or that everyone that you want to love you is going to always love you just the way you ought to be loved, then you're looking in the wrong place for proof that God loves you, or for proof that Jesus is Lord of your life. Jesus said that well will be planted inside of yourself. We need to learn to allow His kingdom to reign and rule inside of us. And then we, through our overflow, can influence our circumstances. But Jesus needs to be Lord over your prayer life. So that is bringing me to the point of prayer. Every one of your circumstances need to be dealt with by digging a prayer well. You need to go to God inside of yourself and fellowship and pray and let the Lord overflow you before you start expecting circumstances to change in your life. So you need to become the well. That's really what the Lord does when He comes into our life, is we become the well. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, Paul said, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as the gift from God? And so the scripture teaches that the Lord has literally taken possession of your life. Your body, your life belongs to God. And can I say to you this morning that the greatest service, the greatest purpose of your life, the thing that you can do that will make you the happiest, you'll never know fulfillment greater than if you do this, is if you allow your life to be that well of salvation. Allow your life to be a prayer well. Use your body. Use your life, use your mind as a prayer well, as a place of fellowship with God. Let your life be the temple of the Holy Spirit. In everything that you do, fellowship with the Lord in it. Let Jesus be leader of your life. Seek wisdom, seek direction, seek explanation for what's going on in your life, not by reading your circumstances, but by seeking the Lord in your heart where He lives. Doesn't that make sense? It's the simplest message in the world. I mean, it's just as easy to preach as falling down. There's nothing to it, but we overrun the simplicity and need to be reminded that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The greatest thing you can do for your situation right now, and I want you to take a moment now as I say these next few things and think about your situation. What's going on in your life this morning? What's happening in your relationships? What's happening in your work? Do you have dreams or goals in your life? Are you happy with what's happening? And the fact is that no matter what church I was preaching this message in this morning, a good number, maybe more than half, maybe a vast majority of people are experiencing unhappy circumstances. And that is not an indication that you are spiritual or not spiritual, that you're successful or unsuccessful as a Christian. It is, however, an indication that you're breathing, that you live on planet Earth, and that you, like the rest of us, are having to get through life every day. You know, Christians don't walk through life on a bed of roses. We walk a narrow way, but our way goes through every valley and across every mountaintop that everyone else goes through. We experience life because we're here living it with everybody else. However, I want you to think for a moment about what your path is like and what's happening. Because if you're really hearing what I'm saying to you this morning, then one of the things that ought to begin to become obvious to you is that you have a decision before you today. You can either let your life be about how your circumstances are going, how other people are responding to you, or whether they are not responding to you, how people are treating you, how they're not treating you, how your financial circumstances are working themselves out, how your provisions are coming along, or what about the dreams, goals, or desires of your life, or what's happening. You can either make you about those things, or you can be what Jesus called you to be. He said, drink from this well that I give you, and you will never thirst again. In other words, when somebody's ugly to you, you're not going to get thirsty and, you know, boo-hooing and falling apart like a cheap watch over it. Sure, it hurts. I don't like to be rejected any more than anyone else. But I thought about the other day when I was on Facebook. Yes, I am on Facebook. Hey, it's what you make of it. It's what you do with it. And but some people, you can tell there's no internal life because everything's out there on Facebook. Their soul is on Facebook or whatever other venue they live in. And there was some young guy, and I could tell he was young by the way he talked and just the way he was acting, just going on and on about, and it came out of nowhere. It shows up on my newsfeed or whatever you call it, and he just starts off his conversation, I hate my life, my miserable, sorry life. And then he goes on with a couple paragraphs describing his dumb mother who can't keep a job and how it's affecting his social life and just carrying on about how miserable his life is. And I thought, so typical of people who base their life in the wrong place. They look to the wrong things. I thought, this kid was a Christian. That was the worst thing about it. You know, so there is a Christian bearing his soul out there, bringing, you know, never mind. But the point is, you understand that you can look at your circumstances, how people treat you and how what they do affects you, and you can decide that that's where you're going to get your joy from. And I'll tell you, you're going to get disappointed, to say the least, every single time. And God doesn't want you disappointed. Really, the Lord has designed you to have joy, excessive joy, overflowing joy. Isaiah said, with joy, you ought to be drawing water out of the well of salvation. You're going to the wrong well. Amen. Don't you get it? You're going to that well that's just got a passive little pool way down in the bottom. You're having to lower that heavy bucket, hope you dip a little bit, pull the thing up, and then you have to keep going back to that well day after day. But see, Jesus said, you go to the right well, and it's going to be in you, so you don't need to go anywhere. Just go to your knees. Roll out of bed, hit your knees. I mean, you're there. He's on the inside. You don't have to leave your room. Just turn off the TV. You're right there on the couch. And just look up and say, Jesus, Lord, I come to you. And that water, Jesus said, will begin to rise up and bubble up. As you reach out to him, he reaches back. How do I know he reaches back? First of all, Jesus said in John chapter 10, it's your heritage as a Christian to hear from God. My sheep know my voice. Another they will not follow. It's your heritage. Christian, you should be hearing Jesus talking to you. The voice of God is there to comfort you. How do I know that when you reach out to him, he will reach back? Because he said that well will be in you like living water springing up. He's got more to say to you than you have to him. Are you listening to me? We're talking about a well under pressure. You're not having to lower a bucket into some sludge and hope you can strain a little sip of relief out. But Jesus said, when you come to that well that He's planted inside of you, it's springing up to everlasting life. If you could picture it in your mind, you're not lowering a bucket anywhere. It's coming and rising and flowing up in your spirit. That's why I'm always encouraging Christians, pray. Dig that prayer well and pray. Get into fellowship with God. All that time and effort you're putting in to get people to like you, to just create your profile the right way, or make amends with those that don't like, or fix your circumstance or situation. And listen, I'm not saying that we don't have to live responsibly in this world, that it doesn't take energy and effort. It certainly does. But I'd rather deal with this world with the energy I've gotten from my fellowship with the Lord than going out and seeking to be strengthened and energized by the circumstances of this world and just be thrown back into bed at the end of the day, used up, spent, and fed up. That's how people wake up with depression. It's because they're drinking from the wrong well. They're going to the wrong source. Jesus said, I got daily bread for you. I've got a well springing up to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. So the Lord wants you to fulfill the greatest purpose of your life. So the Holy Spirit in you, that well, as you begin to live a life of prayer and fellowship, you learn to go to the well. The Lord will meet you. It'll spring up. Once you dig that well, it springs up. It's just overflowing. And you get that habit going in your life of prayer and fellowship, there's a flow. And it's not because you've created the flow, it just keeps going because He is living and He's living in you. Yes. Praise the Lord. So no matter what brought you to the well, you don't drink what you draw. You drink what the well has. I want you to think about that. What's the difference between a springing up well and a well you've got to draw out of? The well you draw out of is you've got to use effort to try to get out of that well that you draw from. And whatever you get, that's what you drink. When you go to people as your answer, you try to get people to like you, love you, pay attention to you, you're going to get whatever you get a hold of. That's what you get. But when you go to God, when you let that living well of salvation, Isaiah said, with joy you draw waters, plural, from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord. Why? Why are you going to be so excited that you're saying, praise the Lord? Because you get more than what you came for. When you draw from the Lord, you might go to God for one thing, but you're going to come back with an armful of all kinds of other things. You see, the Lord is not like a vending machine. You just don't put the couple of quarters in and get the Coca-Cola. When you come to Him, you come to the living God who loves you, already knows what you need, and is ready to fill you, love you, embrace you. In fact, Isaiah 9 and 6 prophesied better than I could ever put it when he said, you shall call His name Wonderful, which means miracle. You shall call Him Miracle. You shall call His name Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So when you come to the well with a need, you're going to receive the wonderful miracle. Hallelujah. When you come to the well with a problem, you're going to get the Counselor. Not just a little message, the Counselor. How'd you like to go into your problems with the Counselor? Hallelujah. You know, when you are drinking from the well, it makes you bigger than you really are. You've got more than what you have. You are more than what you started out with. Can you say amen? Amen. When you come to the well in your weakness, you're going to meet the mighty God. When you come to the well in your loneliness, prepare to be loved by your everlasting Father. When you come to the well wearied by trials, prepare to be ministered to by the Prince of Peace. You see, when you come to the well that He has placed within you, it's not like going to your circumstances and getting whatever you can eke out of your situation for yourself. you receive Jesus. You receive the miraculous, wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's all those things to you. He is springing up with force, running at you, rushing towards you. All you have to do is go to the right place. Let me stop this morning because I want to take the remaining few minutes of our time and just pray with you. Praise the Lord. If that's all right. I feel like now's a good place to just put a chip clip on this message and let's act on what we've talked about this morning. This word this morning is about as simple as they get. You've been going to the wrong well. You've been looking at your circumstances, trying to get a resolution, trying to get filled, trying to quench your thirst. This message doesn't mean that your circumstances don't matter. Doesn't mean they don't matter to God. They do matter to God. The Bible says that Jesus cares about us to the point that every hair of our head is numbered, that He knows about our circumstance, our situation. In fact, I'll tell you this, that the Lord not only knows our needs, but He knows our wants. And as we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll grant us the desires of our heart. And so, yes, God wants to make you happy more than you want to be made happy. But you need to go to the well. You're never going to be happy drinking from the wrong well, going to the wrong place. And I'll tell you this, the Lord showed me a lot of years ago, I know it sounds very simplistic, but the greatest truths are, Jesus puts the life in living. He really does. Those circumstances that you're trying to get just the right way in your life, Jesus is the one who will put the life in that living. He's the one that will give you the power to enjoy your job, your relationships. If you'll let Him order your private world and then be Lord of your public life, you'll live a life with joy, with happiness, because it comes from your fellowship with the Lord. And I guess I'll finish with this one point. Ultimately, as we trace the history of the well from the closing of the gate of Eden to the reopening of heaven when Jesus entered believers and He came into your life, we trace it to its final place, bringing us to today, and heaven's well is inside of you flowing out to help others. And that's really what the well of salvation is all about. As you fellowship with the Lord, you become that advertisement. You become that offering of living water to other people. Nobody can win the lost like a Christian who's living at the well. Nobody can speak to the thirsty better than somebody who's drinking from the well and speaking out of that overflow. Stand with me this morning. How many of you here today would say, you know, I have been drinking from the wrong wells, looking to the wrong source for some of the needs of my life that I now know that can only come from that well of salvation inside me. Be bold enough to raise your hand and say, yeah, I'd have to say that's been happening in my life. All right. Thank you for your honesty. I suppose probably all of us at one time or another have, but right now this morning, you could put your finger on an issue. You could put your finger on something in your life. And you've been going to a well and it's been kicking you in the teeth. It's been turning you away thirsty. Instead of living water, you've been drinking mud. It's been poisoning your mind. It's been making you sick. And you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't mean to over embellish this with metaphors, but I can't say it enough. Jesus is the living water. His is pure love, real love. The love for you that will set you free. And everything else, if you'll let Him order your life and put it in order, you'll live the happiest life you could ever live. But you need to drink His love for you. Let Him be Lord of your life. Those of you that raised your hands, I want to pray with you right now, wherever you're standing. You're the one, and you and I are agreeing together in prayer. I want you to just put your hand over your heart. And since this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm turning you over to Him. He's your counselor. He's your everlasting loving Father. He's the miracle that you need. He is that in you. Pray with me and just share these words from your heart. Heavenly Father, I look to Jesus who reopened heaven in my life. I haven't been looking to you. I haven't been going to the well as I need to. I've been disappointed, hurt, and bruised. I've come back thirsty, trying to drink from the wells of the world. But this morning, Lord, I drop that. I leave them behind me, and I run to you. Lord, yours is the well of love, of life, of truth. Rise up and refresh me today. Jesus, I look to you. Give me that living water that you spoke to the woman at the well of Samaria. Let me drink what you promised her. I need that refreshing that will put me back into the place of comfort, the place of rest. Lord, I've been dry in this area of my life. Let the living water flow in me and refresh me. Lord Jesus, those old wells in the world, they are fading out of sight in my rearview mirror. I leave them behind. I look to you, for you put the life in living. Lord Jesus, my whole spirit, soul and body, I give to you today. You have saved me through the precious blood of your cross. And now, Lord, I come to you to live that purpose for which you saved me. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to feast at the well every day. Let the waters of life fill me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for everyone that's heard this word today, that I believe this word will find its specific needed place in everyone's life and in their heart and mind. I bind right now in the authority of Jesus' name every strategy of the devil to rob this word out of the mind, out of the heart, and out of the life of those that have heard it today. Father, I seal each one in the Holy Spirit, and I pray today that you will cause this word falling on good ground to go deep and to produce fruit, that, Lord, they will open up those wells that you have planted within them, and that beginning today, prayer will begin to come alive in their life, Father God. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will flow, and that heaven will open, hallelujah, in their prayer time. Beginning this week and moving forward, Father God, they're going to walk closer to you than they ever have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless and worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.